This episode is sponsored by CastleManiaGames.com. CastleMania specializes in retro and modern video game accessories. Their store includes new retro accessories from HD Retrovision, Eon Gaming, Retrobit, and more. They also carry products from modern games to consoles and accessories, as well as homebrew and repo parts. At checkout, use the coupon code THEGAMERSLOUNGE to get 10% off your order. Thanks again to CastleMania Games for sponsoring this show. My name is John Minters. With me, as always, Eric, Nathaniel, and Dennis. What is going on this evening, gentlemen?
Well, hello.
Doing good.
Doing good. It's a bright and sunny day, but it might be raining here shortly because I see the dark clouds coming in.
Oh, so. Yeah. They're calling for 1 to 3 inches of rain here tomorrow. So good times. I can't wait. When you live in an area that where two rivers meet, it's nothing better when they can predict flash flooding on a day. It's like, yay.
Right. Justin Timberlake wrote a song about that too.
Oh, did he? Okay. I was trying to.
Nice, 90 degrees here.
Wow, that's hot for you guys, isn't it? It's usually not that warm here, is it?
Other side of the state, eastern side of the state, gets 90 in the summer. Huh.
I always thought you guys stayed in the lower 80s. I don't know why.
No. And that's not even. Which actually, that's not true for Western Washington, because Western Washington, Seattle area, gets 90, and everybody freaks out because nobody has air conditioning. Fan fell out everywhere, and people, you know, are upset. I bought this $20 fan at Home Depot, and I want $200 for it.
I don't care where I live. I'm going to have an air conditioner, whether I use it or not. It's going to be there. I mean, you know, because there's always an off chance that it's... Of course, I live in a house where it's perpetually 68 to 72 degrees, and my wife has a fan in the kitchen, the living room, and the bedroom. So, you know, I mean...
That's my ideal temperature as well. Like I love it.
I like it cold, but man, it's
we keep the house at like 60. We keep the house at like 70.
Yeah, I can't. I don't mind it, but after a while, it's like it gets a little too cold. When I walk outside and come back in, and my glasses steam up.
dry desert heat here.
Yeah, it's not here. It's wet and muggy, and you can cut it with a knife.
All that humidity.
Yeah.
It feels like I just got out of the shower.
And I was in North Carolina Monday and Tuesday, and it was miserable. It was like 90 degrees, 80, 85 or something like that. It was still muggy and hot. It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was.
Well, it's like the past like week or so, at least, we've had a whole bunch of just overcast and some sun, but then bits of rain, so it's just super wet ground right now. Ugh. So it's just like...
So it's just red clay mud and
exuding all that moisture back in the
air. Yeah, uh-huh. You gotta love it. I do not miss summers in North Carolina. No, I don't at all. So
that's because you have similar summer where
you're pretty at. Much. We pretty much have about the same summer as you got. You're not wrong. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it
just feels a little more northern, that's all.
Yeah. We're just a little higher altitude, but it's still pretty much the same weather. So yeah, it's I hate summertime, but that's all right. It's fine.
Yep, I like the fall.
I'm a fall and winter man. You know, I can always put on more clothes. That's no big deal. So
there you go.
Well, spring actually used to be my favorite season, but like over the course of the last couple of years, it's kind of turned into fall and winter.
We hardly get any spring or fall anymore.
So, well, that's what I mean. It's like they don't really exist anymore. Summer. So it's like
it goes right into 90 degrees. You know, and then.
Yeah, you only really have two choices at this point.
Yeah,
exactly. Winter, then mud.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, so anyway, so there was your weather on the fours. we give you the weather report from both sides of the country, so you know you're prepared if you're you're heading out.
Hopefully they're listening to the podcast on a four, so that counts.
Right. Yeah, see, well, yeah, exactly.
Although we were like, John, you're wrong, that's not four.
No, it's not four.
Look at
all.
The clock.
What is wrong with you? Can't you tell time? No, I can't.
Nope.
See, before we get comfy cozy, you know, and become the Gamers Lounge, we gotta be the Weather Lounge first.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
What, everybody?
Weather Lounge or something other random. We gotta start with some weird tangent.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Can't run right in and just jump into things. You gotta, you know. You got to find out how things are going. And
you expect
going
us to get to the point? Yeah. What?
Whatever. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about what we've been playing. honestly, I haven't played a whole lot. I've been playing, taking the Steam Deck, and what I've noticed the other day, I've got two SD cards, a terabyte with the bigger games on it, like Zero Dawn and those type of games, and then I have a 400 gig memory card with smaller indie games, pretty much games that are 10 gigs and below on there. And what I noticed the other day when I turned it on, I hadn't been paying much attention to the onboard memory of the system, and like I've got like 7 gigs left on it, and I'm like, that's really strange. I'm not installing anything on the internal hard drive other than emulators and the software updates. What's going on with that? Well, I got to digging, and every time you turn on the Steam Deck, it caches and downloads little bits of what they call it. It's not graphic assets. I forget exactly what they call it. It's little
is
bits
it cache?
Of it. Yeah, that's it. It downloads, like, okay. I turned it on the other day and I hadn't had it on in like maybe 4 or 5 days, and every game that I installed on there downloaded a little bit of cache from the interweb. And where it stores that at is on the internal hard drive. So I have like 48 games installed on the 400 gig and like 40 on the 1 terabyte. So that's what, like 80 or 20 games on the 1 terabyte. So that's like 60 some games. So all that cache is on the internal drive for every one of those games. And I got to looking on message boards and stuff, and like even people that have the 512 gig have the same issue. So no matter what size internal hard drive you have, it's going to end up getting filled up if you put a lot of games on an SD card, because all that cache downloads onto the internal drive until they figure out a way, until they put it on the SD card, which I don't know why they do that. It's weird. But I guess it does that on PC too. I don't know. I don't have enough PC games on my Steam downloaded through Steam to tell you. But
if you plus on a computer, you're probably not going to notice any of that unless you're really, really, really filling up your hard drive.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, why is the internal drive getting full all of a sudden? It's like, no wonder. So I've only got like 7 gigs left on that. But I did buy a couple new games this week. I still have, well, let's see, what is it? Okay, so we got 3 days before Stray comes out. So I don't know. Apparently they're not going to do preloading on that on Steam, because it still says coming soon the last time I checked. So I guess I won't be able to download it until it launches. But I did get that Time on Frog Island that you recommended, Dennis, that you talked about
on a
couple of shows.
Yeah.
It was on my wish list, and it finally launched the other day, and it was it was on sale for, I don't remember how much it was, $15, $17?
I think it had a launch discount.
Yeah, it had a launch.
I want to say 17 or 18 that I saw perusing through Steam, I think I saw it. And I think even on Xbox, I think, had a launch discount as well.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was a little more on Xbox. I think it was like 25 on Xbox and like 20 on Steam, which was, I thought was kind of weird. It was a little more expensive on Xbox, but... But I downloaded and played the prologue that was out.
Okay.
A month ago or so. I really like that game. It is really fun. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, because you went into great detail when you talked about it a few shows ago when you got to play it. But it is a really good game. It's very unique.
It's super relaxing. I mean, there's really nothing like it. I mean, it's you know, there's no well, I was going to say little to no, but no, there's straight up no dialogue at all. It's kind of presented through images. But yeah, you just do a bunch of like trading and stuff. You kind of crash land. I almost said on a planet. On this island.
On Frog Island. You know?
That's the secret reveal at the end. It zooms out and it's a whole planet of frogs.
Yeah, it's a whole planet of frogs.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything. That's actually going to be the first Starfield expansion, too.
See, they're going to like expand it into a whole bunch of like a movie franchise. So you can have like Planet of the Frogs, but then they're going to cross over to Planet of the Apes, and it's just going to be a whole thing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but it's really good. I really enjoy it. I like to say I haven't had a chance to really play it. But I played the crap out of that prologue when I downloaded it. I was hoping that maybe some of that was going to carry over, but it doesn't look like it did. So that I noticed.
Yeah, that prologue was kind of meant to be like a standalone sort of introductory experience. It wasn't meant to, you know, have anything carry over. But yeah, no, the game's like super relaxing. Now that it's officially out, I've been meaning to jump back in because I got to, you know, I mean, we talked about this podcasts ago, but like, yeah, I mean, I got to play it real early. Maybe, what was it, a month and a half?
Yeah, almost something like that. It was almost 2 months ago.
Like in a beta or like a press release build?
They sent over, just a very early press release build, basically, on Switch is what I played it on. And ran great, looked great. I mean, it had a couple of kinks here and there, but I mean, I didn't mind too much because it's like, all right, this is still 2 months early, so,
right,
you know, whatever. overall, perfectly playable, perfectly enjoyable. But I stopped playing since then because after spending, I mean, I could have easily put 50 plus hours into that game, but I didn't. I had to stop myself because I was like, I want to play this game when it officially comes out so I can really appreciate it once it's officially done for everybody to enjoy, you know, because there were definitely things where I was like, okay, well, that needs some polishing up and stuff like that. So I didn't want to, even though I didn't want my excitement to, you know, I didn't want to get ahead of myself because of my excitement and have that overall ruin the experience for a game that I know could be great.
Right.
You know? So I figured I would just wait. But yeah, now that it's officially out, I almost forgot it was out. But yeah, I'm going to give that, I'm gonna boot that up again.
Yeah, if I hadn't wish listed it, I wouldn't even have thought about it being out either, because, you know, if they sent me an email, hey, this game's now available, I'm like, oh, well, I have some Steam bucks. I'm going to buy that. It's like... And the other game I bought, because it was on sale this week too, was that Hypercharged Unboxed. That was the one that's kind of gotten a lot of steam, no pun intended, on social media because of they want to bring it to Xbox and they want to bring it to Game Pass. So the devs have been really pushing on Twitter and stuff to bring it to.
Oh yeah, I had seen some stuff.
I didn't realize that game has actually been out like 2 years on Steam. I had no idea. I had not heard anything about it. And then once they started pushing it on social media for Xbox Game Pass to release it on Xbox, it shot up to like number two on the on the downloads. And, you know, and then there was a video that one of the devs brought out where they had been bullied or something by fans, either PlayStation or Xbox, I don't remember which, and harassed or whatever. So that kind of got a little bit of news for the game too. But essentially what it is it's a first person or third person. You can scan the camera or pull the camera out. And you're pretty much an action figure in a toy store after hours. And it's 4-on-4, or if you want to, you can do it against bots. You know, I just played the little opening training thing that teaches you how to jump and shoot and reload and do this and do that. And it's really, really cool. I mean, it's a cool game. It would really be fun to play with online with people. The bots thing is okay. You get like 5 minutes to be able to run around the map, and you can find hidden batteries and parts to build walls, and you put the batteries in the chargers to make, you know, like turrets move and shoot. You can build turrets and stuff like that if you can get enough Legos or whatever you build them out of, built up, saved up. And there's all kinds of hidden things in the in the store, you know, because you're jumping from gondola and shelves and packages, and it's really cool. I mean, but it's like, you know, it's like, I did not realize this thing had been out for like 2 years. It's like, why didn't I hear about this like 2 years ago? It's just, it's funny how a game from, you know, a small dev or a small indie team that wants to get it on Game Pass to get some hype, all of a sudden all the Game Pass, all the Xbox influencers hop on it to try to get it, and then you realize, oh, well, this game's been out on the PC for like 2 years. I'll just buy it on Steam. Yeah. So I think it was like $12 or something like that. It wasn't very expensive. I mean, it was on sale.
20 right now, I think?
Yeah, that may be the regular price.
Question for you. Since you're an action figure, in the tutorial, does it say, like, press X for jumping action?
No.
Pull trigger for shooting action.
No, I wish it did. That would be hilarious. I forget
karate chop action.
I forget the name of the guy who does the tutorial, but he's got some kind of action figure-y name. I can't remember what it is now. It's like General something or another. It was funny though. But yeah, I mean, you could like use like Legos. You could use Legos to build up like walls, so the bots have to, you know, climb, you know, tear them down before they can climb to this certain spot. But really, the turrets are the coolest thing. You just gotta build turrets and then go find a battery to power them. And that's usually what I do. I run to find batteries. Batteries and things to build turrets. But it's a fun little game. Like I said, I think it would be real fun to play with friends. And as far as I know it's going to come to Xbox, but I don't know if it's going to be on Game Pass or not. But I know it's going to be on Xbox.
If it was Xbox, I'd get on
that. Hope so. It looks great, man. It's been on my radar for quite some time now. I haven't bought it yet, even though I noticed it is available on Steam. I think it's also even on... It's not on Switch, is it?
I don't think so.
I could have swore I saw it on Switch, unless I'm thinking of something else that looked like it.
Maybe it... Let me see. I don't remember if it is or not. I'll look it up.
Okay. While you're talking there. All right. But yeah, I would... Would love to jump into that and, you know, play with you guys, because it definitely seems like a game I would enjoy. Because I'm definitely feeling it every time I look, you know, at it in action.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
It is on Switch. Oh my god. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, it's definitely tempting. But isn't it still technically an early access title or no?
No, I don't think it is.
No.
Let me make sure, because there's a demo. I mean, I guess. No, it's not early access. There's like DLC you could buy. I could have bought the whole package with all the DLC for like $40. I mean, there's
I don't know. I've been interested in it. For some reason, I thought it was an early access. That's why I was holding out on it. Because I was like, all right, well, when the game's done, I'll jump into it. But yeah, that sounds awesome. Do we know if there's cross play and or cross progression in there?
No idea.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I saw. I didn't see anything about cross progression. Now I don't know about cross play, but.
Yeah, crossplay would be nice at least, because I wouldn't mind picking it up on. I mean, I would prefer a game like this on PC, anyways. But I wouldn't mind, you know, playing on Xbox when it comes to Xbox, you know, and or Switch, you know.
Right.
But that crossplay, but without crossplay, I would just get it on PC. Then I wouldn't bother picking it up on a console.
See.
But
yeah. Steam and Switch, play solo or co-op wave based.
So I'm not going to play an FPS like that on a console. I can't do it.
Sergeant Max Ammo, that's the name of the... that's the name of the guy that takes you through the tutorial. Sergeant Max Ammo. Max Ammo. Max Ammo.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking on their website just to see if they had any details about if it was cross-play or anything like that, but...
It's interesting it's taken this long, honestly, just because, you know, for it to come to Xbox, just because with how much campaigning they've been doing and how much support they've been getting for it to come to Xbox. And, I mean, I've seen plenty of people, myself included, tweet at Phil Spencer, tweet at Aaron Greenberg, tweet at Sarah Bond, you know, and all these other, you know, Xbox executives and stuff. Just be like, look, you guys paying attention? You know, like, the people want this. You know, let's make it happen. Even the devs want this. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, especially, and then on Game Pass, nonetheless, which, you know, obviously they're trying to, you know, make that service look as incredible as possible, which they've been doing a great job with. But if the devs want it on Game Pass, then why not? Absolutely. Yeah. Get it on Game Pass. You know? Yeah. That's another subscription for you.
Yeah, really. Like I said, I haven't played a whole lot. I played a tutorial, did one wave, and that's really all I've had time to play. I haven't had a ton of time the past couple of weeks to play much, which is usually about par for the course anymore. But yeah, so that's all I've been playing. Nathaniel, I see you finally got Monster Hunter Stories 2.
That game is so good.
It is. It's really good.
So the Steam Summer Sale happened, and I picked up about half a dozen RPGs type games.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, somewhere around there. So, like, I started on a couple of them, but I have plenty more to get to eventually, just because there's not a ton coming out right now that I want to play. So, and then, plus, if I don't get through them all, they're there to pick up when I do have time again anyway, because, you know, that's how Steam works. So, yeah, I bought and played a couple of the ones that I bought and played. So I played Monster Hunter Stories 2, maybe 12 hours of it or so far. I don't remember how far into it. I've made it to the... I just made it to the third village. Man. It's all like snowy mountain place, and I haven't really done anything there yet. I just got there and said, "Hi, give me a house, please."
Please.
I want to save my game. Give me my house. Stop giving me cutscenes.
the end of that. There's a lot of cutscenes over there, actually. But the end of that arc, that winter place, man, is like one of the most incredible cutscenes you'll see throughout that entire game. So I'm excited to see what you think of.
Because the cutscenes annoy me in that game.
I tell you what,
I do not like the story for Stories 2. It bugs me. Part of it is because it does one of my most, like, I get it, but come on, like, the tropes of where the player character does not talk.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But, so they have, like, silence. It's one thing if you're doing it like, say, a Half-Life game where your character doesn't talk but people are talking to you, whatever, but if you do what Monster Hunter Stories 2 has and just literally invent another character who just speaks for the player and says, "That right, buddy?" Like every 5 seconds, like, just have the main character talk. Like, I get it. You can be a boy or a girl, and you can change your appearance some, but like other games have done it, and you don't even just have like one voice for each too. Like, who cares? Yeah. Or if you have the budget, do two voices per or something. Like, yes, I get that it adds up, but I don't know. It bugs me.
Yeah.
But it's all just very like goofy, whatever. But I don't know. I think I like this game, like, visually much better than Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah.
Which
is
what, like, a lot of people... Because I think it's because Rise was a Switch game first, so it just doesn't look quite as good. And then this one has that kind of cartoony, cel-shaded aesthetic to it that just... It looks good.
Yeah, it plus, does.
Plus, they're doing a little bit more with the design of, like, all the monsters and characters and stuff, too, for... fitting more of an art style versus Rise is just kind of like, okay, just color-wise and stuff, it's different, but a lot of the designs are kind of still very similar to stuff they've done before, so it doesn't have that draw of like, ooh, what's this one going to look like? What's that one going to look like?
Yeah, I'd played it on Switch first, and then when I got my Steam Deck, it was on sale on Fanatical or something like that for like $20 or $23 or something. So
that's pretty cheap.
I bought it there to play it on PC and played it on Steam Deck, and it was like, I don't want to say it was a night and day difference, but it was a big difference. I could tell. In fact, I think I messaged Dennis the night that I bought it because I booted it up on the computer just to watch it and played it in like 1440p and went, "Dennis, this game looks and runs so much better on PC than it does on Switch." I had no idea what I was missing. You know, it was like,
"Oh, it's very smooth for me too because I'm on my desktop, so I've got it on my high refresh monitor." So it's just like, "Yep, all the frame rate, it's all here." Because it's not a super demanding game, so my computer's like, "Yeah, it's fine."
It's
I'll I don't do that. You want me to do something else at the same time? I can do it.
I don't think it's even verified for Steam Deck, but it runs at like 60 frames a second on high settings on Steam Deck. Something, and I think the reason it's not verified is because of the text is too small. It'll be very small on your Steam Deck. So,
I don't know how far I'm going to play it. I'll probably just end up finishing kind of like the story, and then I'm not going to keep going like Monster Hunter games usually do. Like, have the quote real Monster Hunter after you've finished all the story stuff and you get to like high rank stuff. I don't know if I'll keep doing that or not.
Yeah.
I'll just see where I'm at when I get there. But, you know, it's kind of fun. Get all the eggs, bring them back, hatch them, be like, "Ugh, I've already got 15 of these. I don't want it." I haven't That's a, I, it'll probably be something more for when you get to the end game of that, that it would matter, but I'm just pretty much running with my standard loadout of like, okay, I've got these guys that I know I like, and they have the abilities that let me do the stuff in the environment, like smash rocks or jump so that you can do all the different things, and then I might throw in one or two that I want to level up, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, cool. And then... It cracks me up for the section before where I'm at. Like, the whole story for that was, like, you go to a place, you get a cutscene where basically an elf, even though they're not called elves in the universe, like, it's a long-lived old character who's talking about your player character's grandfather when, you know, because, hey, I ran around with him however many years ago. I remember him. Let me tell you a story. Oh, this place reminds me of this time that this thing happened. Then literally that exact thing happens to you. That same monster pops out and you have to fight him. Like, they do it multiple times. I was just like, guys, really?
Yeah.
Because it's not even short. It's like a pretty long cutscene. And then it's like, oh, now we're back here out of the flashback. And now we're going to fight the same thing. Who would have guessed?
Shocking. Wow. Not a surprise. Whoa, twist.
Weird.
Yeah.
But this is the gameplay, and that's really fun, just from the different kind of like rock, paper, scissors system they've got for your attacks and then your different skills and all of that, and the way that the different weapons, how they've adapted them to the turn-based stuff for building up meter to do different skills and things like that is really cool.
Yeah.
So it like, promotes you experimenting with things like, oh, I found this, you know, I just killed some monsters, I can craft a new thing. Let me try crafting, you know, a horn this time so I can play with that. Or let me craft a bow this time so I can go play with it for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one's pretty fun. I also bought Elex, E-L-E-X, which is an RPG by Piranha Bytes. So the same studio that did like Risen and Gothic, that's their current series, I guess, because they have Elex 2 came out earlier this year, which I also bought that one. I'll just play it after I do Elex 1.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, oh, Steam sale. I'll just buy them both because they're both not too bad price. I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Elex is punishing. It is designed to be very difficult to when you start out. Because almost anything can just murder you by looking at you. Yeah. And it's a little bit clunky, so sometimes you'll just be trying to, like... Because it's a third-person perspective, but it's on, like, an action-style game. So you're moving around real-time, and you have to, like, double-tap keys to do dodge rolls and stuff like that. So sometimes it will... you're just going to want to strafe somewhere, but it'll think you double tap the key, so you'll do a dodge roll that way. You're like, ah, no, don't go off the cliff. Stop it. So it's one of those games that's like, it's got a little bit of jank in there, or, you know, a decent amount of jank to it, but it's still really, really fun. I've probably put about 15 hours or so it's somewhat similar to what I've put into Monster Hunter Stories too, because I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between those two, depending on what mood I'm in. But yeah, it's kind of it's very much like a mix between Elder Scrolls, Fallout, and then a little bit more kind of like sci-fi thrown into your post-apocalypse. And instead of being first person, it's like a third person game. Mm-hmm. And a little bit more mechanics to the action. There's stuff with how you do melee attacks that builds kind of like a combo meter. So you're not just like hitting the button a lot. You have to kind of time it if you really want to do the damage. But you can run almost anywhere, even in the early areas of that game, and find creatures and things that are way over leveled for you, and you're just like, I just gotta run, bye.
I'm out.
Hope I have fuel in my jetpack so I can jump up on top of that roof over there so you can't get me. Oh wait, you can spit attacks at me too? Crap, I'm gonna go up over here farther away. Because you start that game, so the way that the world of that game is this planet that gets hit by kind of like this comet, I believe, something like that, hits and then like destroys the world, and it's, you know, apocalypse, but it leaves this material called Elex behind, and there are different factions that use or don't use it, depending on kind of like their ideology. So you've got different factions that you can join in the game, But then there's also kind of like the bad guy faction, which is where your character is from at the start of the game. There's an attempted assassination on you and you don't know why. So that's part of the mystery of the game, is figuring out like, wait, why did they try to kill me? What's going on? And also hopefully nobody knows who I am, because otherwise they won't like me, because I came from the bad guy faction. And like the bad guy faction uses this material called Elix to enhance their abilities and get, you know, superpowery, or well, not technically superpowers, but just like become really powerful, but it deadens their emotions. So they have all this reputation with everybody else on, like, yeah, they're very scary, but, you know, they're kind of robotic like. And they have a faction that's like, hey, we don't like any technology, so it's all banned here in our villages and we're just gonna use swords and stuff. And then you've got one that's like, hey, we love technology, we only want technology, we worship it. And then you've got some more that are just like, hey, we're outlaws, we're only here for ourselves, we want to make all the money. So it's all these different factions, and how they kind of interact with each other forms the basis for kind of the setting and all the different missions and quests that you can get. And then eventually, although I'm sure you probably could do something where you don't join one of them, but the game's steering you towards join one of the factions. Eventually you have to do a bunch of, you know, missions for them so that they trust you, and then you can eventually join one. Mm-hmm. And then you get a new skill tree that you can go to, because there's all sorts of different regular skill trees, and then if you join a faction, they have a faction specific skill tree. So one of them will give you magic spells, or one of them will let you, you know, research their technology, that type of thing. It's a very deep RPG, lots and lots of loot. It is an awesome, amazing RPG in the fact that it does not have encumbrance in it. You can pick up anything you find, and yeah, it won't weigh you down.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm picking up everything. Like, oh, hey, a loose broom? Yeah, I'll take it. I'll sell that for a penny. Sure. If I pick up 20 of them, that's like lots of money, man. I'll add up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just a cool RPG. It's kind of like a... It's a very weird, because depending on what area of the map you're in, you have a different vibe. So I'm in like a desert area now that very much feels like a kind of New Vegas or some other kind of desert post-apocalypse feel to it. The area you start in is a lot more foresty, so it feels more fantasy-like. And yeah, but no matter where you are, there are mutant creatures that are trying to kill you, and they probably will if you're caught off guard. Because all I have is a stupid hatchet, because I don't have enough stats to wield the cooler weapons yet. I got to level up a few times, and then I get that cool sword.
I remember when that game came out, it looked cool, but it kind of just got... I say it just got buried. I think Ryan actually reviewed it for the site when it came out, because it was a THQ Nordic game, so...
Yeah, yeah, they distributed most or all of the stuff Piranha Bytes has made, I think. Yeah. But they've always been kind of like that kind of AA middle of the road size kind of RPG thing, where like Gothic and Risen and stuff do okay. And they're very PC focused platform, you know, for the platform sort of first. And then I don't even know if any of their games really went any other platforms. They might have, I don't know. But it's pretty much just, I know them from doing PC RPGs.
Yeah.
I thought there was a couple that made to maybe 360 or Xbox.
They might have. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Other than that, I've played a little bit of Jedi Fallen Order again, just because I wanted to swing a lightsaber around.
Yay!
Yeah, I've kind of been playing a little bit of that again, too.
First planet, and, you know...
Outside of Rogue's Water, it's probably one, I don't know, probably the best Star Wars games come out last couple of
years. Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the best Star Wars games that come out in, like, a long time. Yeah.
Probably 10 years.
Yeah.
I tried to play The Force Unleashed 2, maybe like 6 months ago on Steam, and after the first couple levels, I was like, eh.
Yeah, 2's not as good as 1 was. I'll play it, but
I really like this Fallen Order game.
Yeah.
Which gives me the Star Wars theme.
So that's what I've been playing.
Yep. Ooh. Yeah. I bought it on Steam when it was on sale for like $10. Man, you can get that Fallen Order so cheap now. I think it's on sale on Xbox, the deluxe version. It's like $12 right now. It's like ridiculous.
PS5 for $20? I've seen it for $20 for PS5.
Yeah. I saw the deluxe edition. They're doing their big summer sale on Xbox right now, and it was like, I was looking through some of the stuff last night. It was like $12.49. I was like, oh my gosh! It's like, that is just, yeah. Why don't you just give it away? Well, I mean, it's on, yeah. it is on Game Pass. So I mean, kinda, but you know, it's like, but yeah, and I have ever since watching Kenobi, I've kind of got back into
got the itch
picking. Yeah, just every once in a while. Plus, they showed the trailer, the teaser for the new one. It was like, yeah, I kind of want to play it again.
I almost platinumed it. I think I was pretty close too. It was definitely one that got its claws in me, and I was.
Yeah, I mean, it's it may have been the last game that I played straight through. Big, not a short indie game, but I mean full. I think that may be the last game I've beat in a while, yeah. As far as a triple A release, because I haven't.
It's like 10, 15 hours, maybe. It's about right.
I don't know. I think it was more like around 20.
It's still good. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You just want to keep playing it. You're like, you finally did it. You made a Star Wars game that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and doesn't force multiplayer down your throat, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about those other ones on PS4 and Xbox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Battlefront is... That's been free on Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
Free on PlayStation Plus?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have it. I've never booted it up.
It's fine. I mean, if you like that kind of game, it's a fine game. I mean, the single player story is not bad either. I mean,
I like it a lot personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting story because if you watched Mandalorian, if you've watched the season 2, the one where Bill Burr and Mando break into that factory where they're doing whatever
the one they hit from the front right with the tank
I forget what it was that they were making there, something that was highly explosive, but anyway I mean, they call back to something in the novels and in the Battlefront 2 game that happened, you know, in that game, you know, so it is kind of cool how they kind of tied everything together. And it's like, if you haven't played Battlefront 2 or you haven't read the trilogy of novels that came out right after Force Awakens, you wouldn't like know exactly what they were talking about. So it's like, ooh, I know that. I know that reference. Oh, I know what they're talking about.
It's under $10 on Xbox. Oh man, digitally? Ooh, that's tempting. Yeah. Just to have it.
I think I bought it on PlayStation 4 just because a friend of mine was playing it, and I think I own it there digitally. So but, okay, Dennis, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been playing. You don't have quite a big, you don't have the biggest list this week, but it's, you know.
I win!
Yeah, no, not as big as it normally is. But yeah. Yeah, I've been more focused, on what I've been trying to play, but also been playing games that are a lot just longer in general. So I didn't want to, you know, stack up too many.
Right.
But you know, the first one is actually pretty short. This one's called Landlord of the Woods. This one's a really, really short, small indie game made by one person, I think. And it what drew me in right away was the art style. But what kept me playing was the sort of point and click aspect of it. It tells an interesting story through sort of environmental storytelling, and it's definitely interesting and unique. You know, when you look at it, it kind of got this, I mean, you don't really know what's going on. It's got, you know, people, you see like animal skulls, and you know, it's all this weird sort of, I mean, I don't even know what to call it. It's I don't know, it's just super unique.
Yeah.
And but yeah, there's not much to it. Again, it's like a 30-minute game. I mean, you could push for an hour if, you know, some of the puzzles sort of stump you. But otherwise, yeah, 30 to 45 minutes tops probably. And, not much to it again. But it's what drew me in was just the art style and just how cool everything looked. And the fact that it was developed by one person. I usually like to support those people that, you know, did everything by themselves. You know, it's just one person, like, did the art, did the coding, did the music, you know, this and that. So I always respect that. So I was, you know, and it was on sale for, like, next to nothing during the Steam Summer Sale. It must have been, like, $0.60. You know, so I was like, yeah.
This looks like a very indie game that would be on Game Pass.
Which honestly, if it was, I would replay it because I would love to get like just, you know, 100. I would love the platinum, you know, or 100% or whatever, you know. So, because I would imagine that would just be easy to do. Because it's pretty linear. There's not too much in terms of like, you know, it's not too dynamic. But when it does well, and it's straightforward. And yeah, I mean, the puzzles aren't too complicated. It's, you know, it's some of the quote unquote residents, I don't even want to call them that, but like they talk to you and, you know, you get to do requests for them. And basically you're just going around collecting rent because you are the landlord of the woods. And you meet some interesting characters. You meet like a ghost, and then you meet like a, you know, like a half, you know, sort of, you know, half, I don't even know what to call it. Just like a, it's like a half bird, half moose type thing. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, you meet some interesting characters and go through a couple of interesting environments.
I see you're skinning snakes and rabbits.
Yeah, well, some of these
pulling stuff out of bellies people, and
yeah, it's super weird. Like, it is weird. Some of these people, they have like requests too. So it's just like, hey, you know, I mean, you know, I don't think I'll be 100% comfortable without, you know, some, you know, I don't know, some rabbit teeth, you know.
Yeah.
So you go and you go get a couple of rabbits, and then you just, you know, well, I mean, just, they're already dead, obviously. You just find some rabbit skeletons and just pull their bones, pull their bones apart, and then,
right,
you know, take the teeth and make soup out of it. I don't know. It's weird, but again, it's not a long game. It's really short. It's like 30 minutes. But yeah, just, you know, I was feeling something short, sweet, point and clicky. You know, I didn't want to think too much, and that was exactly what I wanted, you know. So, and for 60 cents, can't complain, you know. So, in addition to that, this one isn't as point and clicky, even though you aren't doing as much either. It's kind of half walking simulator, but this I've also been playing a lot of Road 96. This came out on Game Pass recently, probably within the last week.
Yeah, I think so. I think it came out. I think it just came out the other day because it came out the same day the pressure washer game came out.
Right, and. And like I this is a game that I had had my eyes on for a while too. It had been sitting on my Switch wish list actually, and I always thought the pricing was interesting because the pricing is $19.96 because it takes place in 1996.
Yeah, there you go.
Also. So you know, some interesting pricing there. But yeah, it's an interesting game where you play as a bunch of different characters, these runaway teens basically, and they're all faceless, so you don't really, you know. Everyone's talking to you and you're kind of silent. You can respond with dialogue choices and whatnot, but otherwise, yeah, you just kind of play as this, you know, you imagine them to be whoever you want them to be basically. But yeah, they're all faceless and quote unquote invisible, and they're meant to be because this whole story is, you know, all these teens go missing and you're kind of playing through the perspective of all these missing teens. And but what all these teens have in common is they're all trying to basically cross the border of this fictitious world, or state, country, whatever. And I can't remember what it was called. I want to say it starts with like a P, like Partitia or something. I don't know. It's completely made up. But yeah, it's got really interesting storytelling elements. You can mess up and get sort of a quote unquote bad end. But it doesn't really matter much because you're just going to go on into the next missing teen if that happens, right? Like, you don't just play as one character the whole time. However, you do meet these recurring characters, and all these teens interact with them and come into contact with them in all varying ways. And it's super interesting how the story plays out, honestly. I've never seen anything like it. There's been similar games that have similar sort of dynamic storytelling of all these different perspectives. Like, I mean, one of the first ones come to mind, obviously, is like Octopath Traveler, obviously. But this is more than that. Like, this isn't, you know, this is, again, since they're faceless, it's almost like, in a weird way, it's really weird way to put it, but almost like a roguelite, right? Where it's just like, you know, if it's got like permadeath, right? Then you start over, new build, new character, new everything, right? New world. So it's kind of like that if you get, quote unquote, caught while crossing the border. And, yeah, but all your choices, not just your dialogue choices, but your actions will make a difference. So let's say, because I've been successful with a couple of them, not all of them so far, but with a couple of them. And one of them, for example, one of the first ones was know, when you're about to cross the border, that they have a couple of checkpoints they go through, you know. And so I just decided to, there's a couple ways to cross the border for every single one, but one of the ones that I did was I got in the back of this truck, this sort of, you know, big vehicle that was transporting a bunch of goods, internationally or whatever. And, I just hid in the back of the truck and they went through a couple of different checkpoints. They're like, okay, let's bring a dog in here first, to sniff everything out, make sure there's no drugs in here. And then you're good. And it's like, okay, but you know, I couldn't just hide in the truck. Now I had to hide. I had to be really quick about it. And sometimes there's QTEs and stuff. And all right, let me hide behind this box. Okay, now the dog's in there. Hold your breath. You know, hold both triggers to hold your breath for a set amount of time until you feel, you know, you're good to go. And then like, but then the second checkpoint came around, right? And then it's just like, all right, well now we have to check for, movement, right? So then you got to stay as still as possible, right? And then then the third checkpoint comes around, and then they did something there that I forgot. I think they did like a full sweep, but then I ended up just going, like, I found a latch to go underneath the truck, and then I just kind of held, you know, onto, you know, so the skeleton of the or the frame of the vehicle instead while he just went past, and then we were good to go, and then I crossed the border. But yeah, it's interesting. It's really, really interesting, and it's unique, and it's a really cool take on a walking simulator. That gives you all these neat perspectives with a lot of gameplay elements, more than a typical walking simulator would have. Been enjoying my time with that one. Haven't beaten it yet, but I do want to play it some more. And now that it's on Game Pass, I finally was able to jump in, you know, because I kept waiting to that, because I had it on my wish list for a while on both Steam and on Switch.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those games where it's just like, you can tell it's not going to be long, and even with just the 2, maybe 3 hours I put into it, I'm more than halfway through already. So, you know, it was one of those games where I was like, you know, I'm not saying it's not worth the price, but, you know, it's not.
Right.
I would be willing to wait for a sale, you know, but those sales never came that often, at least. And then when they did come, they weren't a decent enough drop for me to warrant paying for it. Yeah, exactly. So now that it's on Game Pass, finally, I was like, okay, finally, now I can jump in, you know, and just play it through here. So
it looks interesting. It looks like it kind of reminds me of a Life is Strange, or, you know, just the art style. It seemed like, from the trailer, it seemed like I kind of got it was kind of like that kind of game. But now after hearing you talk about it, it's like maybe a little bit, but not like I thought it was.
Yeah, not too much. But overall, it's super interesting. And then if you were, you know, raised in the 90s, born in the 90s, or just were alive during that time period, which I feel
alive.
Like we all were. Yeah, so, you know, you'll notice a lot of things that are definitely authentic, too, which I really appreciated. So, but yeah, it was really, really cool. It's really cool, and I'm looking forward to playing it some more and, you know, seeing kind of where everything goes from there. But yeah, it's super cool. It's super, super cool.
Yeah, I'll try it out.
But next, on Xbox, I've been playing some of KO, it's technically KO, not cow,
right.
But I always
read it. Funnier if you say cow.
but I guess it's KO the kangaroo. I've been in a platformer mood lately, and I had my eyes set on this one for a bit, and it just recently came out. Now, for those not familiar with KO, these games are old platformers.
Yeah.
We're talking like, yeah, like
PS2
back when they were like,
or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, around PS2, GameCube era. Yeah, like the, you know, when all mascot platformers were all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, around the Crash, Spyro era, all of that. You know, and KO was one of them, and you know, not as well known, I think, but he got the remake treatment, you know, which is awesome. And this game's pretty, man. This game is pretty, but it's definitely a budget platformer. I think the game's only sold for $30 or $40. I've been having a great time with it. I've been in a platformer mood, and it definitely harkens back to that era, which is what I love the most, man. I feel like platformers now too much. They focus too much on, I don't know, they don't have that charm that I feel like a lot of the older platformers do. Mm-hmm. And I think they try too hard with the platforming, where they sort of, they add too many RPG elements to the platformer that it loses the identity of being a platformer.
Right.
And, you know, I just want to jump and, you know, well, platform, you know, there's a platform there. Let me jump to it. That's it. Just keep it simple. You know, collect a couple of coins, you know, you want to have some hidden areas. Please, actually, I love hidden areas, so please have hidden areas, because I love being rewarded when you explore a level a little bit, which they do that pretty well here, actually, in KO the Kangaroo. The problem is, a lot of these collectibles that you get, which are diamonds and scrolls, they don't do a damn thing. Like, they are the most pointless collectibles I've seen in quite some time, unless I just haven't gotten to a point yet where I can actually make use of them. But so far, I feel like it's told me everything about this game except for what to do with these collectibles. So, collect, I don't know what they're waiting for. Yeah, just collect them, obviously. Collect.
That's it. That's all it is. Just collect them.
Which is fine. I'll do that, you know, because I like collecting stuff. But, you know, otherwise, there's no point to them. And it's like, you know, you see your number keep getting higher and higher, but nothing to spend them on. You can spend the coins on stuff. There's like a little shop in the hub area where you can spend, you know, an extra heart pieces, extra lives, and like some outfits too. You can get new outfits for KO, which is really cool. But that's it. The scrolls and the diamonds don't do a damn thing. They're pointless. They're really, really pointless. But yeah, no, the levels are super cool. They're super fun. And yeah, it definitely takes me back to that era of platforming. So, you know, and I to be fair, I haven't played the originals, so I can't say how they compare to the originals. But just that era, definitely, I feel the authenticity there. Now, however, because it is a budget title, there are some, you know, kinks and stuff like that with this game where it's like it could be better. Like, it's definitely some collision problems, definitely a lot of collision like issues where I'm just clipping through things, and yeah, but otherwise the hitboxes, the platforming, the things that should be important, they feel good. Yeah. Right, they feel good.
Well, that's what you come for, so
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. and those feel where they should be. I haven't been like, because my problem is one of the worst parts about a janky platformer is, well, the jankiness of it. And, like, so if you have to be pixel perfect with some jumps, or, you know, if you all of a sudden get hit out of nowhere, you know, with something that you know missed you because some hitboxes are all out of, you know, wonky and just all out of whack, whatever, that's what pisses me off with some platformers. And I'm looking at you, Mighty Number 9. So,
Jade.
Yeah. God. I hate Mighty Number 9 with a passion. And I beat that game, too. I beat that game because I was determined. I was just like, I hate this game, but I'm beating it. And I did do that. But yeah, no, well, now I'm thinking of Mighty Number 9. Let me get to a happier place.
Reel it back. Reel it back. Happier
place. Yeah, I'm coming back.
You're safe a safe place now. Place.
Yeah, thank you. Let's breathe.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment. You know, but I think Mario Odyssey, think KO, you know, think all right, now we're in a good place. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, KO's a good time so far. The only real bug that I've encountered so far, other than a couple of, you know, polish issues, but in terms of like real bugs, it's just like there was a quest I got, and all it said was quest name. That's all it said. Yeah. So it was like, it was actually quest name, and under that, where it would normally be what the quest is, quest info. That's all it said. So I was like, okay, all right, good. Thank you for, for being so informative.
Yeah. Great.
yeah. But yeah, I've been playing that on Xbox, and on the Series S, it looks great, looks crisp, runs crisp. And yeah, no, I'm really happy with how it turned out. I mean, for a remake, it's really solid, looks pretty. It's, you know, again, it's got that charm of that era, but it's also, because it's authentic, also it's sort of got that sort of well, just what you would expect from that era too. So really, my biggest complaint is they didn't change the voice acting at all. So it's horrible. It's horrible. So you got that early 2000s voice acting,
right,
where everybody just goes in, they read their line once. It doesn't matter if they did a good job or not. You know, one take. Yeah. So,
look at this beautiful game. Just don't listen to it.
Yeah, don't listen to it. That's right. But yeah, no, that's really my only complaint. Otherwise, I'm having a great time with it. The levels are great. They're very inspired. A lot of fun. And KO the Kangaroo. I've been enjoying that one. But yeah, in addition to that, I've been playing on the Switch side, have been playing Eurokill, the Calumniation games. Been playing a lot of that. That is, man, if you're a fan of Danganronpa, like, this is going to give you all that juiciness from Danganronpa. but not as much freedom as Danganronpa. But this one's more of a pure visual novel with some shoot 'em up elements, which is really interesting. I've never seen that before in a visual novel like this. And you know, everything from Danganronpa is here, from the visual novel portions to the sort of escape room portions, escape room slash detective portions. I don't really want to call them an escape room because you're never really. It's not like Zero Escape, but Danganronpa is more about the investigative portions of it. You know, when you're figuring out somebody's death and whatnot. Mm. But yeah, it's doing that. But then outside of that, then the game turns into just a straight up shmup. And it's insane how it works out, but it runs really well. It looks great. The shmup elements are fantastic, and the story is really, really good. You know, if you're into murder mysteries, mystery thrillers, stuff like that, in true Danganronpa fashion, because it's made by Izanagi Games and they're comprised of a studio of Danganronpa and Zero Escape developers. You know, so that influence is very much there. But yeah, no, it's fantastic, man. The art's really great, as well. So, yeah. But yeah, I would highly recommend that for anybody who's kind of in the mood for those detective sort of games. But it's because of the linear nature of it. It's not going to be as dynamic as something like Danganronpa is. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's a really cool premise where you have a bunch of prisoners and executioners together, and they all team up. And you play through the perspective of a prisoner. Now, there's a couple of different ones. But the prisoner in particular that you play as, the name is Sengoku, he's kind of been framed. And so, but he has to serve a 10-year sentence. Now, he doesn't know why, but he's just one of those I'll just deal with it type people, right? So he's there and he's serving a 10-year sentence. And the executioner somehow has some sort of relation to him. He doesn't know how. But yeah, he doesn't know how, and at any point, these executioners can just click a button on their what's called a Eurokill passport, and it's just a kill button. So if the executioner gets tired of their BS, they're just like, you know what, boom, I'm not doing this anymore, you know. But so basically, this whole time, he's just trying to convince himself, like, or convince his executioner, look, I swear I didn't do what I did forever ago, and in the beginning of the game too. Because this all happens in the beginning of the game, so I'm not spoiling anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe like first 5-10 minutes, he gets a note passed into his cell from somebody else there. You know, they all just wake up there. They were in a normal prison first, but then all of a sudden they wake up on this boat and they go to a place called Eurokill Land, where it's like a theme park and it's very, you know, it colorful, and but it's sinister at the same time. Kind of like Danganronpa, where everything's very colorful, you know, but the tone and the themes are very dark. You know, people are dying, you know, so... but yeah, no, you go to Eurokill Land, and the host is Binko, and she's the sort of Monokuma of this game, and she's always changing her voice into something really creepy, then super high pitched and happy, and it's her. She's all over the place. She's yeah, and yeah. You basically just try to the whole time try to convince your executioner not to just kill you arbitrarily, you know. Yeah. But it's a really, really good game. It gets juicy, the details, once you start like really getting into it. The puzzles are pretty good. Some of them have like weird sort of logic to them, so they're not as good as or rewarding as they were in Danganronpa or Zero Escape. Where like I feel like with Danganronpa Zero Escape, because I always play those games on hard, right? But those puzzles, after a point, if you just give it enough thought, they are perfectly solvable. These, I've had to use hints a couple times, and even with the hints, I'm like, how, you need to walk me through how we came to that conclusion, you know, and those, it's those types of puzzles that drive me crazy, where I'm like, even when you tell me the answer, if it still doesn't make sense after you give me the answer, we need to go back to the drawing
board. Right, yeah.
It drives me crazy. So, but yeah, but overall, I mean, that aside, that's really my only complaint with it. Other than that, the music's great, the illustrations are fantastic, and yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, a big fan of Danganronpa, I mean, you know, look no further, because it's basically a reskin. Yeah. You know, stripped down a little bit, definitely a lot more tame, but yeah, if you're kind of in the mood for a game like that, oh man, yeah, this Eurokill's gonna gonna just suck you in, and yeah, you're gonna get really immersed in it. But yeah, in addition to that, have been playing lastly a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Like, my lord, I know Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is around the corner, and I've been meaning to play this, man, for years. Like, I bought the physical copy forever ago.
Yeah, I bought the collector's edition, and I think I've only played maybe an hour or two of it.
Probably shortly after I bought it, but I don't remember anything from it, so I'm basically going in brand new again. And I don't know, it's been a while since I played, I don't want to say a while, but it's been I've been wanting a new JRPG to really get lost in, and even though I play a lot of JRPGs, there's, I don't know how to explain it, but there's a specific type of JRPG that I like more than anything, and Xenoblade is basically exactly what I've been looking for. It's been such a great time. I think I've put in now, I think my save file says somewhere between 20 and 25 hours. It's been hard for me to put down, but the story is great. The combat's interesting. That's the most interesting part about Xenoblade, I think, is the combat. Because it's the first one. I remember when the first one came out on Wii, it didn't really make sense to me. Because I got into Xenoblade, like, way late. Like, I didn't really start playing until maybe when they remade the first one on new 3DS. Actually, no, that's a lie. Xenoblade Chronicles X. That was my first Xenoblade, actually. It was Xenoblade Chronicles X.
I love that game. And I still love
it. I enjoyed
it.
Game was awesome.
Man, I just don't understand why they never brought that to Switch, because that's...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Seems like a perfect game, yeah, because it's online co-op, and, I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, no, that it doesn't make sense why they haven't ported that one over yet, and yet they, for some reason, decided to remake once again the first one. Yeah. Which, I mean, is fine, but, I mean, you know, we've done that three times now. Whereas Xenoblade X, I feel like you've ported anything and everything under the sun from Wii U now. Xenoblade Chronicles X is really the last missing piece.
Yeah.
You know, because we got, you know, what was it? Tokyo.
Yeah, the...
Oh, my God.
It's right. Here. It's right,
I
there.
Know. I love that
Tokyo
game so much.
Mirage.
I'm just having a brain fart right now. Yep. Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Thank you.
Yeah, Tokyo Mirage. That's all I could think of was Mirage for some reason. So.
Yeah, I was having a brain fart.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I guess I could have turned around. Like I said, it's just sitting right there. It's like.
But yeah, Tokyo Mirage Sessions. You brought that over, which thank God, because that was the one I was screaming for more than anything. You brought over Captain Toad. You brought over. I mean,
where's my
Devil's Mario 3D
Bird?
World? That's right, with Devil's Throne, that's right.
I mean, it's not a great game, but, he's so cheap.
Only when you bring Wind Waker HD.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, Yeah, that's true, that's a good one. But yeah, no, Xenoblade Chronicles X, that's the one, really, that's, you know, I think the last real gold mine that's missing. Yeah. Anyways, I've been playing a lot of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, really enjoying it so far. The story is great, the world is beautiful. My God, I mean, you go out into the world, you just can't stop looking around. It's just everything is just so.
Does it run
fantastic.
Better now that it's been out for a while and they've done some? When I first played it, it just the frame
That's
rate.
Why was, I stopped playing it.
Yeah, the frame rate was just not good on the Switch.
Yeah, no, I haven't had any issues at all. I mean, it's been pretty stable. The only thing that I've noticed is when you put it in handheld mode. In TV mode, it's perfect, but when you put it in handheld mode, the resolution has not been fixed at all. Because I remember when the game came out and Digital Foundry did a video on it, and the thing would go as low as 244p sometimes.
Yeah,
are you crazy?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? That's 3DS resolution. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, and that's one of the games that I really want to put on my Steam Deck and run to see how it would. Because the Switch games, you can manipulate them a little bit more on the Steam Deck, with the emulation to run better. And run at a higher resolution. So.
And that one seems like a game where they bit off more than they could chew as far as the scope that the Switch can handle well. And they just got it to where, okay, technically it runs and it's here, but, you know, if we'd had it on another platform, we'd probably make it better.
Yeah.
Handheld mode, you definitely see the decrease in quality. But otherwise, in terms of performance, I mean, it is. I haven't seen it drop. There's no hiccups. I mean, it has been stable.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because that was one of the reasons why I kind of stopped playing it, because it was just, you get out in the open world, and they're out in the world, and then they just chug, or you get in the city, and you could clearly see that resolution drop, and it was just, I couldn't take it, because I played mostly in handheld mode, so, you know, that was what turned me off.
Yeah, and those resolution dips are still there in handheld mode, but otherwise in TV mode, I mean, it really is perfect. I don't see any resolution drops. I don't see a drop in any sort of quality. The frames are completely stable. It doesn't hiccup. It doesn't, you know, again, it's. I've been having a pretty seamless experience so far.
I guess
far.
I need to bust my Switch out, plug it back into the dock. It's been in a case since, like, March. So I guess I really need to bust that out and charge it up and go, hey, let me update some stuff. I have not played it in a while. Steam Deck.
But, yeah, no, it's a fantastic, fantastic game. I'm super excited for Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Yeah, there's like it's weird. Like, there's two sides of JRPGs that are like, I love the traditional pixel art ones, but then I love those big scope, freedom JRPGs like Xenoblade and stuff like that too. You know, so like but it's the ones in between that, as much as I love them because I pretty much buy all of them, but those are the ones that I tend to finish the least, because I don't know why. I guess it's just that too many restrictions, I guess. Like a lot of the Neptunia games, for example, I love those games. I buy every single one. But my lord, I think I've only beaten two of them, probably, out of like the 15 that's out. You know, I've played any and all of them. You know, all the ones on Vita, all the ones on PS3, the PS4. I have a lot of them on PC as well. Cyber Dimension, Neptunia. We reviewed quite a few of them as well in the Gamer Zone. And, but yeah, they're hard games to beat, because they just, there comes a point where it's just like, there is so. It's so bloated, unnecessarily bloated.
Right.
Not in terms of just like, not just in terms of story and like how you're artificially prolonging this, but why are you making this so needlessly complex?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Why does every menu has a sub menu followed by 15 more sub menus? We don't need to do this. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this, Python? We don't need to do this at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why are we creating these sorts of network infrastructures? I'm just trying to play the game, please.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think you're not wrong with the bloat. I think that's what, because there's a lot of them I just don't finish. I really enjoy and I have a lot of fun, and I put 20, 30, 40 hours in it, and then it's like I'm only halfway through the story, and it just keeps going and going and going and going, and it's like, no, we could have ended this a while ago. I mean, it doesn't have to. I don't have to play it for 150, 200 hours. It doesn't have to be that long, you know. I mean, I want bang for my buck. Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, I want a bang for my buck, but at some point, it's like, okay.
At some point, like, we need to end this. And I still, it's funny because, like, one of the games to suffer from this the worst isn't even a JRPG, but to me, it's Days Gone. Days Gone lasted way too damn long.
Yeah.
That game could have been a 20-hour game, and instead it was a 60-hour game, and it drove me crazy. And by the time I never have I been so excited for credits in my life. The moment those credits rolled, I was like, finally, finally, because it was a great game, and I couldn't put it down, you know.
Yeah.
But my God, after 20 to 30 hours, I was like, why are we still? This dude, just end it, just end it. If it's this problematic in this world of zombies, and you realize you're not going to survive. Just end it. Yeah. You know, just assume that all your loved ones are gone. Just end it. I don't care at this point. I don't care. There's no happy ending in this game. I don't care.
And that's
it just has a hard timer on it, so that when you hit like that 20-hour mark, it just stops and cuts to a black screen with white text that says, everyone died.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm good with that. That's
the
fine.
End.
You know what's funny is like a lot of the older, minus the death part, but a lot of the older Atelier games did that, actually, where the Atelier games can be as short or as long as you want them to be, but they end after, because they have an in-game timer, and you technically, how they used to be, you had 3 in-game years to basically finish the story. And I remember with Atelier Aisha in particular on Vita, when I played that one, 3 years had passed by, And even though I was like 25 hours into the game, I couldn't continue the game anymore because it basically gave me an ending where after 3 years, because you were basically looking for your sister that entire game. And after three in-game years, and there's a reason for that too, because something happens after 3 years and I can't remember what, because everything's very, you know, apothecary witch stuff, you know.
Right.
But yeah, after 3 years, like, it was just like, hey, we found your sister. Oh, okay, cool, great, credits.
Yeah. All right, you're done. Thanks. Like, thanks for
somebody
flying.
Else
appreciate
finds
it.
Your sister for you, basically. Because they, I guess the game realizes, like, you're taking too long. You're not going to find your sister. Yeah. By now, she actually would have been dead. So we're going to have, you know, we're going to have the police here. Let's go ahead and bring her back home. So, yeah. But yeah. Anyways, I know we're going off on a tangent. But yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 has been fantastic. And I just kind of wanted to give myself a nice warm-up before Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Because the more I see of it, I think Nintendo's definitely sold me on it now. So I'm super excited for it. That and Live Alive, my God, those are the two big going to be the heavy hitters for this year.
Yeah.
The only bad part is they come out a week from each other, which is like, my God.
Now, is Live Alive only on Switch? They're not putting that on PC, are they, or are they?
Not for now. I think it's going to be one of those things that they've been doing lately where I think it'll be on Switch only, and then a year later, probably PC.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then maybe the year after that, kind of like what they did with Octopath, it'll show up on Xbox. Yeah. You know, because I don't even think Octopath is on PlayStation yet, is it?
No, it's not. It's still on Game Pass.
It's been on
Game Pass for like over a year now. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I think they'll end up doing that with Live Alive. So yeah, Switch for now. Then 2023, probably PC. 2024, gotcha. Maybe Xbox. So
because I'm interested in that game, but I... Once again, where I'm playing everything on the Steam Deck,
play the
it's like
demo.
I don't know if I want to buy it on Switch because I don't know if I'll play it or not. You know, so
yeah. Well, play the demo. The demo was amazing, and like I knew I was gonna like it, but I didn't realize how much I'm gonna love it.
Yeah.
And the demo is fantastic, and because it's a bunch of smaller stories, it's a lot more palatable, I think, for us.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, you can, you know, it'll be a 20 to 30 hour RPG, but you'll have these nice 5-hour stories instead of just one gigantic overweight.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
that sounds very appealing to me. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
and I want Xenoblade too, but it's like they did the collector's edition on the Nintendo store and it went up at a crazy time when I was working and then everything went down and it's like, you know what? I've got literally every Xenoblade collector's edition you brought out. 1, 2, 3. I've got them all over, and I can't get this one because you didn't put it on Amazon or GameStop or whatever. You know, it's like, fine, whatever. And then, you know, Bayonetta 3.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know that one. I don't know what's going on with that one. That's the one I want more than anything.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to go to GameStop tomorrow. So.
Yeah, you have to let me know if you can pre-order it.
I have to go into a store to actually buy a game. I'm not happy about this.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
you have to go to a terrible trash store, and no less.
No, I don't want to. It's
terrible, terrible company. Good Lord.
Oh my gosh. You know, for the longest time, you could, even though they said you couldn't use your $5 a month coupon for digital currency and stuff, you could through the app. So I could order Steam cards to get $5 off every month, and then this month they changed it, so now I can't. It's like, oh no, now I've got to go buy something in a store.
You know what you're going to be able to use all your points and stuff for? NFTs.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Can't roll my eyes hard enough.
Slap them upside the head, be like, come on. What are you doing? Stop it.
Yeah, so I guess tomorrow after lunch I'll go over to GameStop and see what's going on. So
yeah, that's everything I've been playing.
All right, cool. Eric, haven't been. Yay. I know you weren't here last time we did a show, so you've got a lot to talk about. So
let's start at the top. Actually, let's Xbox had a big sale recently, so I kind of went a little bit ham and bought a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I bought like Saints Row 2 and 3, the first Condemned game, the Silent Hill HD collection, even though it's horrible, and Time Splitters Future Perfect, because they're all like $2 or less. Actually, I think Silent Hill was like, it was five. $5?
Yeah.
Like $30 for a physical copy. I'm kind of want to try this out. Do it for five.
Yeah, for $5, you're not losing out on anything.
I've actually never played the first Condemned game, and I realized I was like, I think I own this someplace else. Yeah, I have it on Steam. I'm pretty sure I got it, like, for dirt cheap or trade for the NK. But Saints Row 2 and 3, spent plenty of hours on PS3. Actually, I think about Saints Row 1, too, which I'd actually never... Anyway, I've been playing a lot of stuff. Let's start with the things I like the most. I disliked. All right, well, we'll just start with... Yeah, so we'll just go with the console. For Xbox, I played some Daymare. I don't know if you guys have played that. It's a survival horror.
Played a bit on PC.
Okay, cool. I figured you had. I figured one of us had.
It's, yeah, well, it's very Resident Evil-ish.
Yes, so, very Resident Evil 2-ish. It's decent. It's got some tank. Actually, a little mod for one of the Resident Evil games. And then actually made it a full game. It's not bad. It was recommended by Metal Jesus. Like maybe like a year ago, and I was like, oh, I've been on my watch list. Like, oh, it's cheap. It's like a 10 hour, 10 to 15. Oh, okay, I've played a couple hours. It's not bad. Combat's okay. It's very Resident Evil combat. It's, you know, tank control, stop and shoot, get mad. Yeah, but it's entertaining. If you can get if you're a fan of that sort of survival horror and some bucks, go play. I played some Crown Trick. It is a roguelike dungeon crawler. It's got a cool like animation style with like different weapon, stamina. I played it for a couple hours. It's fun. It was on Game Pass. So, I don't know. Sometimes I just randomly pick stuff. I'm like, that's cool. It's recommended by somebody. Try it out.
Yeah.
I also bought Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystera, which I also own on... I'm pretty sure I own on PlayStation. And I think I have it someplace in an emulation box, too. I really like those two games.
They're fun.
Back in the day, they came out for the Saturn, but I don't know if they've come out for anything else. They're expensive. If you digitally, they're good. They're a nice little action brawler, two-player, different classes, use magic and stuff. Really good stuff in the arcade. Pretty good on them. I got Gunstar playing some Star Heroes from the Genesis version. They had that was also cheap on Xbox. Dollar, so I bought it. Let's see.
Yeah, they got a really good bunch of sales going on. There was like 800 and some games, and I started halfway through it, and then I went, I got to stop. There's too many to scroll through. I'll come back and scroll through them again later.
here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing about their store, though, is that it won't take 50 years to load on.
Well, yeah, I can't tell you the last time I have went into the eShop. I mean.
For the eShop,
it's a disaster.
I just search some stuff for my PC. I'm like, this game on the eShop. Okay, there it is. But for most of these games, I bought them in the browser a little bit faster. Plus, you can get cash back. Let's see what else. I played some Mario Golf. My nephew, he said he had played it. His friend had it. I don't think he played Mario Golf. He got mad when I was beating him. I'm playing like the battle mode. I'm running up, throwing stuff, and hitting the balls, and I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Got mad while you're beating him.
Play the new one on Switch.
How old is he?
Switch. He is 9.
Okay, yeah. That's about the age of my niece, too. And I learned real quick, you just let her win.
We'll get that in a second. But I have only dabbled in Mario Golf for 64, maybe a little bit with GameCube. But it's fun. I'm glad I got it on Switch. I beat Shredder's Revenge on Switch. I also beat on Xbox. Yay. Good times. Also with my nephew, I played some Mario Kart 8. So he was pretty excited about that. He had only had it for about a month. Played some battle mode, played some racing. He pretty much beat me every time. I don't know. I mean, come on. You got to let him win once in a while, right? He's very excited.
You got to get him the remote control Mario Kart. Oh, those things are a friggin' blast.
I thought about it. I also thought about how occasionally he's not necessarily the best with his stuff. Maybe, you know, if I can get it on clearance, potentially.
I think at Black Friday, I paid $50 for both of them, $50 each. Yeah. So $100, I thought that was fair price, especially just to have the carts sitting on the shelf when she's not over to play. Because I guarantee she's sitting upstairs right now, and they're sitting on the shelf, and she's probably bugging Nikki to death going, hey, can we play this? And Nikki's going, I don't have any idea how to even set this up.
We got a review code for the Cotton reboot. I played that. I have been interested in that for a very long time. but I did not want to pay the price.
Yeah.
You know, for the actual physical version. And now, I don't think it's... I mean, I reviewed it, but I don't really think it's my style of shmup. I guess it's fun, but I couldn't keep it. It's not that it's a bad game. It's a
right.
It has fun art style, interesting characters, but I was like, all right, I guess it's Cotton. I don't get the appeal.
Yeah.
But
I like Cotton.
People like it. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah, it's different. That's what I like about it.
It's got this kind of like Halloween fantasy theme going on, the different characters.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly, definitely a cute 'em up. But yeah, because for a while I was looking and buying. They have a remake of the one that's the behind, like that plays like Space Harrier, right? Where it's like behind you, right?
Yeah, I saw something about that. Yeah,
I was like, that's what I always thought Cotton was, and then I was like, oh,
there's no, it was
now.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, I'd always seen, oh, buy it for the Saturn. I was like, oh, but yeah, let's see. I'm playing Sniper Elite 5. It's on Game Pass. I'm playing that crossplay with Buddy on his Xbox and me on the PC. I can't tell you how much fun. And he's like, he's not that great, so I'm always like rescuing him and reviving him. But
yeah.
Nothing is more satisfying than taking that sniper rifle, drilling someone in the head. You know,
I downloaded it and I have yet to boot it up, but I downloaded it. I really wanted to play it.
Got to get that call. We could definitely play. I mean, it's fun. I think we spent like an hour or like 45 minutes per mission, and that was kind of taking it slow.
Yeah.
As long as you coordinate, and it's got a good system of checkpoints too.
Hmm.
I think it's actually easier than the zombies. I like Zombie Army too, but you get to a point in Zombie Army, you have to have a co-op partner.
Yeah,
because the AI is dumb. I'm like, why? I'm like, I cannot beat this boss without a person, an actual co-op. But yeah, Sniper Elite 5. Those games are.
Yeah.
And the last thing I played with recently was for some reason I drug out my Arcade Legends Mini. It's been modded. I played with that. I mean. It's decent. Stick and buttons are good. Modding it is a pain, and you have to wait for like the USB flash drive to load before you can access your games.
Oh, jeez.
It takes like 2 or 3 tries for it to work, so it's hit or miss. But once it loads, play your arcade fighting games. I played some Darkstalker, Marvel vs. Capcom, some Metal Slug.
Punisher.
Anything you can think of. Yes, I played. And it's fine. I have that Punisher's game.
Punisher's good.
6 different things now, but it's great. That's Arcade Legends Mini. If you can find one, for they had them on clearance at GameStop this spring for 50. If you can get them for 50,
that's not bad.
It's comfortable enough to sit in your lap or on a little table. It's good. The stick is pretty good. The buttons are responsive. Just be warned, the interface is kind of janky. And there are easier ways to mod it than what my buddy did for me. But yeah.
See, anymore when it comes to emulation and stuff, it's the Steam Deck. Gosh. That thing.
Mine is somewhere coming, hopefully soon.
Well, they've upped to so did you get a chance to order one? Did it let you order one? So
Yeah. What happened is I was debating, and I had to pay, and I told the story half a dozen times. I had all my gift cards in, I was getting ready to pay. I was at work. And I thought I couldn't get on the app wouldn't work. I was like, I got to go outside to my car. I got busy. An excuse. I went back and checked, and the window had closed. Crap.
Yeah, but I remember that.
I just reordered it.
Yeah, well, the way they've updated, they've upped the shipments and stuff, so.
Yeah, I'm excited. Lots of good things.
Which one did you get? Was the 64 or the...
I got the 64.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be fine.
I didn't get the expensive. Yeah. I got either the middle of the 64.
Yeah, I mean... this cash stuff, but anyway.
What does the most expensive one come with? A better M2 and like a case, right? The most expensive one? 512?
Well, no, they all come with a case. The most expensive one comes with an anti-glare screen, a bigger hard drive, and like some digital stuff. It's like, and they've actually replaced some of the hard drives in it. That's how they've gotten them to ship out faster, so they're not quite as fast as they claimed they were going to be. So... whatever, 64 gigs, fine. I mean, if you're not a mad person like me that has like 70 games on a thing at one time, I mean, you know, you'll be fine.
I mean, you've given it a great review.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I've thrown everything at it.
Have you tried Saturn emulation?
No, I haven't tried Saturn emulation yet. I have not done that yet.
I know that stuff. Those two things are such a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I tried to get the Sega CD to work, but it wouldn't work right out of the box. And that was when I was putting everything on it. So it was like, I'll come back later and figure that out. You know, GameCube worked. The PlayStation 2 worked. The Wii U worked. That was the one that I wanted the most, was the Wii U. Because it's just like... Man, to play Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess, Twilight Princess, was that the one? No, yeah, Twilight Princess. I keep thinking that's not right?
Wind Waker and Twilight Princess both got the HD treatment.
Yeah. And playing those on the Steam Deck, it's amazing. I bought it on a whim. You know, it was like, oh yeah, I'll pre-order one, but I'm probably not going to buy it. And then I started seeing stuff like, oh yeah, I think I will buy it. And then, you know, I traded in my Series X or my 1X when they were trading prices were stupid high, like $350. And it was like, oh wait, it paid for my Steam Deck. You know, it was like perfect. That's just really, really like it. I think I'm. The trouble is Steam game, you know, or Steam games, you could get some really cheap. And if you follow like Fnatic on and some of the third-party sites, you know, and they were doing the thing where it was like you could buy 7 mystery games for $7, and I'm just like, oh, you know, this is why I don't play the lottery. Oh yeah, I'll buy those and just see what I get. And I've got tons of games though. I mean, I got like Fallout 4 or New Vegas for like
$1.
Nothing for like $1 is what it ended up being. Like Cosmic Star Heroine, I retweeted it this morning. It's $1 right now on Fnatical. $1. That game is one of the best RPGs I've ever played.
Fantastic. I have still not finished on Steam or on Switch. I'm about halfway.
Yeah. It's super short. I mean, if you want an RPG and not put 50 hours in it, I mean, I think it's like a 10 or 15 hour game. I mean, it's super short. So, but my Steam Deck is my game of the year so far.
But that's all I've been playing.
All right, cool. Well, let's hit up the news stories real quick. There's not a ton. Sony announced this week that they were launching the PlayStation Stars program. It's a lot like the Microsoft Rewards program if you use it. I know not everybody in every country though can do the Microsoft Rewards thing. It's very limited, but there's you get points for unlocking achievements, playing games, doing tournaments. There's a monthly check-in, so as long as you check in once a month and play a game, you're eligible for those points and stuff. And pretty much you redeem it for points that you can buy stuff on the PSN store, which is exactly like Microsoft Rewards. I think I have like 30,000 Microsoft Rewards points right now, which actually translate to like $30 or something like that. So, that's cool that they're finally coming up with that. Welcome to 2017 or whatever.
You know, my first thought when I heard about this?
What's that?
I was like, I wonder if there's anyone at PlayStation that says, boy, I wish we could call this PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah. We already used that.
And we wish we hadn't, because it would have been better here, probably.
I tell you what I thought when I first saw PlayStation Stars. I thought of a reality show with people competing to be the next PlayStation Star.
versus 100 like Xbox used to do, something like that. Man.
And I hear that I hear Microsoft is working on trying to bring that back. And that was fun. I loved that thing on the 360. That was fun as crap. If they would bring that back, I would play it every weekend at least. Yep. You know, I would.
Got to have people to run it and to keep filling and doing all the questions. I mean, that takes a lot more work probably than you expect. Plus all the back end stuff too. That's maybe the quote easy part, but it still takes teams of people to do it.
Yeah. So if you're a PlayStation person, hey, guess what? You're going to have your rewards program finally.
And you can forget that you can turn in points too.
Yeah. Have you, Nathaniel? I know you probably don't keep up with it. Have you ever logged onto the Microsoft Rewards just to see how many rewards you have? Because even though you don't check it, it still will give you.
I was on there way back when, on like 360 or something era, so I have an account tied in there, and then it's like I've turned in stuff on the Game Pass app when I remember to.
I've seen a lot of people that forget about it and then go in there and they have like 100,000 points, which is like $100, nice. And I like buy a controller with it or something.
Yeah, I don't have that many. But
I've
been getting after the points and stuff on a pretty regular basis these days.
Yeah, when I was on the road and I was taking my Xbox with me, I was doing it every night. And I think at one point I was up to like a 50 or 60, 70 week streak. But now that I'm not on the road as often and I'm not taking the Xbox, that streak is long gone because it's like, yeah, I don't remember to come down here and turn on the Xbox and at least do what I can do before it all disappears. But, you know, but I mean, still, I've still got money on there that I'm gonna probably buy Gotham Knights with it. There's not a lot this fall that I want.
I think that I'm going to get River City Girls. Yeah. Because it was on Game Pass, and they took it off.
Yeah.
And then I was like, crap.
Yeah, so, I have it on Switch. Yeah,
I was halfway through it, too.
Yeah, I have a physical copy on Switch. It's a good game.
So do I. I'm not going to open it.
Well, why would you? It's a limited run game. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I just have the basic one on Switch. I have the one on PS4, the PAX cover, too, that I got at one of the conventions. And I was going to open it. And my buddy's like, no, just hang on to it.
I sold my first game out of my collection in a very long time this week. I sold my copy of Chrono Trigger. I bought it for like $50 on years ago. I literally cleaned it up, polished it, put it in the system, went, yep, it plays, and then I set it on the shelf, and it's been sitting there for like 3 years. And then
did you get sell it someplace local?
No, I sold it on eBay. I sold it for like $200.
Yeah, I was going to say eBay are one of the bigger.
So it's like, okay, the HasLab thing came out this 2 or 3 weeks ago where they're doing a 6-inch scale Cobra Hiss tank, and I had to have it, and it's $300. And my wife looked at me and went, you're not paying $300 for a toy out of pocket. I went, I have some things I could sell for just such an occasion. I sold it and a 3-pack of Star Wars figures and went, here's my money for the HasLab thing.
There you go. I kind of got that look with Steam Deck a little bit too. I was like, I got most of it on gift card, but what about the rest? I'm like, well, I got a couple things been sitting around. I really don't need two copies of Power Stone 1 for Dreamcast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was like when I bought my Steam Deck, I had it all paid off except for tax. So it was like whatever the tax was, $40 or $30, whatever. So God of War Ragnarok finally has a release date of November 9th. As far as I know, that's a hard release date unless something terrible happens.
What was with the version that doesn't have the disc? Is that one of the collector's editions?
The two collector's editions I know the top one was like $250. I forget what the other one was. And neither one of them. They come with steel books and a voucher for the game, but they don't come with a physical copy of the game. But yet it has a steel book. It's like, what the crap? Why are you...
All that money you couldn't manufacture a disc.
Yeah, you get a digital code. So,
download too. It's probably 100 gigs.
Well, and everybody's like, well, they don't want to make two versions of it. You know, they have to have a PlayStation 4 version and a PlayStation 5 version. I'm like, well, if they would just give you the free download for the PlayStation 5 version, what difference does it make? But, you know, they're not going to do that. If you buy the PlayStation 4 version and upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version, you got to pay $10 extra for it. It's like, but here's my thing. Everybody complained about that, yet that thing sold out in 5 seconds. I mean, all of them did. You can't buy them. They sold out. I mean,
yeah, there's no way it wasn't going to. They don't make enough to where they'll strip demand.
If you get on eBay too, they're being sold for like triple right now. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I don't like this new trend. Well, I don't like the trend of, you know, it used to be years ago, a collector's edition like that would maybe be, if on the high end, $150. Usually they run about $100, $110, like that. Now they're $250 and don't even come with a copy, a physical copy of the game. Some of them, I've seen some collector's editions that don't even come with a digital code for the game at that price.
Yeah,
you know, you know, somebody who is a physical collector that wants that collector's edition but wants a physical copy of the game is going, well, here's what's going to happen. The day Ragnarok comes out, you're going to see a lot of codes on eBay and trade sites for people wanting to sell them. and because they're going to buy the physical disc too.
Yes,
so.
I'm going to get me a cheap one.
Yeah, so you'll probably find one for about $30, $40, $50 if I had to guess. It's probably what'll happen. That seems to be the general consensus. But great, it's coming out finally. I mean, you know, I know Nathaniel. Are you going to? I'm sure you'll probably buy it day one. I mean, you liked God of War.
Oh yeah, that game is amazing. So I will definitely get it. Unless it's reviews come out and it's like this game is trash. How could they possibly have failed so hard? Which is not going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see that happening either. Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked utterly shocked if it did, but. Yeah, I know a lot of PlayStation people have been wanting, you know, to know the release date if it was coming out this year, so yeah.
Great. I was pretty much at the point I was like, well, they're saying it's come out this year, so sure, but if it doesn't, oh well. So
yeah.
Now we have a date, cool. If it gets delayed after this, I'll be a little sad that I can't play it in November, but I'll play it whenever it comes out, so whatever.
I can't imagine them delaying it at this point. Like I said, unless something tragic happens.
Yeah.
But I was.
Yeah, but we live in a COVID world, so
yeah.
Who knows?
It is true.
I thought it was interesting, though, that particular date, just because of the power that God of War has, like, Square Enix, they just took Forspoken. They're like, okay, no. We'll move that to 2023.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
Which honestly is a great move, because even if God of War wasn't there, it would still get stomped by all of the games that come out in the fall months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it would have done probably decent as long as the game was, you know, good. But coming out where it's a lot more isolated, you can have a lot more attention on just that game.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good thing that Starfield got pushed back to, just for the pure simple fact is November was crowded with big games. That was even before Ragnarok was dated, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why it took them so long to announce a date. They wanted to see if anything else got pushed back, you know, before they announced
some strategy in there like that. I'm sure it's also them making projections of like, okay, can we get it out by September? Nope. Okay, let's aim for October, November, or whatever. All right, now do we feel solid enough that we can actually tell people about it? Cool. Send out a press release.
Yeah. And then speaking of release dates, that the Bayonetta 3 was announced to come out in October. That announcement came from out of nowhere. I mean, I'd been out working all day, came home, opened up Twitter, and went, well, there wasn't a Nintendo Direct today, was there? Actually just announced a game on Twitter that it's coming out with
They might as well have just had, like, tweeted a photo of somebody finding, like, a piece of paper in the trash that has, like, the release date written on it. And
That
or something for how weird it is. That would be the only way they could have made it weirder.
Yeah, it was so not Nintendo. It was so not a Nintendo announcement. It was so weird. But yeah, finally, the 28th, people were posted pictures of their pre-orders that they had made on Amazon when I was one of those guys that ended up canceling. I still had a pre-order from when they were doing the 20% off, if you were a Prime member. I still had that thing on pre-ordered for a long time, and finally, like a year ago, I just went, you know what, I'm just going to let this pre-order go, you know, but I still had it on pre-order all those years. It's fine.
that's how it was for me with Kingdom Hearts 3, where I think I pre-ordered it in like 2015. And when did that game come out?
1987.
That's when you pre-ordered it.
I pre-ordered that game, and it was. I remember it was a whole like 5-6 year difference. I remember looking at the initial pre-order date, and I was like, man, that's just. I mean, if it's that far off, why even have it available for pre-order? Like, what are you pre-ordering? It's air. That's it. You're pre-ordering oxygen.
Well,
that's all you're doing.
If you pre-ordered it at GameStop, you're just giving them free money for the next X amount of years.
Or if it's like Best Buy, they're just going to lose your pre-order copy or sell it to the other guy.
Exactly.
Well, actually, Best Buy is more likely to lose it. GameStop will sell it to the other guy that comes in.
Right, that's usually how it goes. But if you want a physical version of Bayonetta 1 on the Switch, that's going to be released on September 30th with a limited number of physical copies. I already have a physical copy of it from Japan that I got in that collector's set. So that was the whole reason why I bought that collector's set from Amazon Japan, was because it had a physical copy of 1 and 2.
It came with such a nice steelbook, too, didn't it?
It's a steelbook, and there's tarot cards in there, and there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I'll show
your
it
Nintendo,
to you.
Nintendo, yeah. Please release your games on PC or just the Bayonetta games. It's fine. Yeah. I want to play Bayonetta 2 and now 3 on PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Bayonetta
Sega...
1 on PC is so good.
Yeah, it
well,
is.
Well, it's interesting because like Sega still has some sort of say in it, right? Because they own the IP.
Yeah,
like, or they own half of it anyways. Like, both Nintendo and
some
Sega.
Some weird
own.
Thing, yeah.
So, like, so, but Sega still has some sort of say with what happens with Bayonetta.
Well,
so,
let's see. I'm gonna look this up. So,
because yeah. They're still in the copyright. Like when you look at the like the fine print, like Sega's name is still in the copyright, even though Nintendo does all the production, they own everything. Sega, I don't know if they
okay.
Just
so here it
a
is.
Small share. Or...
Nintendo has financed and published the Wii U and Switch versions of the first two games as well as our first game as well as Bayonetta 2. Although Nintendo owns the copyrights to the Wii U and Switch versions of the first and second Bayonetta, Sega owns the copyrights to all other versions as well as the Bayonetta trademark. So
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just for existing things. That's not saying that they could have the rights to port 2 to PC without you know, Nintendo saying they could.
Without Nintendo's approval, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that seems to be the one thing that would hold it back, is they just have to get Nintendo to say, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because I remember Sega didn't think 2 would do that good. That's why...
And then look what happened to it. 10 out of 10's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Another classic Sega thing.
Mm-mm-mm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Streets of Rage 4? No, never. No, we don't believe
no,
it.
No, we're not going to do Streets of Rage 4. We'll let somebody else do it. Oh, it blows up. Yeah. Wonder Boy? Yeah, we'll give your blessings. Yeah, you can do that too. But, it's fine. Yeah. Shenmue? Oh, yeah. No, no. You could go ahead and publish that too. We'll give you your blessings on that. And it's like...
Sonic Mania? No,
Shenmue's
man,
not that good. Sorry.
Hey, shut up. Shut up, Nathaniel.
I just
those
have
are
to
fighting
be mean.
Words.
It's fun. But honestly, that one was not a bad decision on their part, because Shenmue is not a huge moneymaker for them compared to some of the other things like Sonic that could be.
Yeah.
And, it's just not the same wheelhouse. Right?
And
there's also that new Jet Set Radio, too, that's coming out. I've already forgot what it was called. But
yeah,
that new Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
And, like, because, again, Sega won't do it. So here's the original creator who has his own studio now who's going to be like, all right, well, we're making a spiritual successor to it. Watch.
Same thing with Crazy Taxi. That was some.
Yep,
yeah, they did the same
Taxi.
Thing. That, you know, it's funny. Someday, somebody, whether it's Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo, is going to end up buying Sega, and they're going to crank out some of these old IPs that people want and people will sell, or that will sell and people will buy. I mean,
I think they've found a really good, comfy place. I think surprisingly with. Mm-hmm. Yakuza, because of how much it's blown up the last couple of years, that they're just living off that money right now. So they're like, all right, whatever.
So. I think that and the Phantasy Star Online new Genesis.
And the Sonic
thing.
Films, too.
Yeah.
And the Sonic films are like raking in the big bucks, too.
Yeah.
Sega's like got a weird library, so if they did get bought up, depending on what company bought them, would probably influence what games that you'd see a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. So like if Nintendo did it, you'd see a lot more of like Sonic and whatnot, or if you know Xbox got them, you'd see a lot more of other things.
Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, but there's just so many IPs that Sega just sets on, you know, Golden Axe and Shinobi and you know, and all these other games.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be Konami.
That could be, yeah. They could just turn them all into pachinko
machines. Sega decides, hey, we're going to make pinball from now on, so we're not exactly the same as Konami, but you know.
Yeah.
But here's how, instead of $60, it's 25 cents a piece. You get a nice little capsule, open it up.
Yeah.
You know, get a cute little toy on the inside. How about that instead? That's interactive, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll work.
That's a little interactive media, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, we need more Castlevania games. Come on.
Yeah, we do. And for them not to... anyway. They missed their boat cashing in on the Castlevania with the cartoon on the anime on Netflix and release a game.
I don't know if they're doing more of it, but there's been, like, what, 4 seasons of that show now? So, like, yeah, it's not like it was one season and done. It just kept going.
And,
I wish they would just sell the property to the rights to Silent Hill too. I hate that it's just sitting there.
Like, yeah.
Just,
and Limbo, well, and that's what I say at this point.
Silent Hill slot machine. That's the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's plenty of those already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to freak yourself out and pull a lever?
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody complains when Microsoft's buying up this, buying up that, buying up. At this point, I don't care if it's Microsoft or Sony. Somebody needs to buy Konami and do something with these IPs that Konami has.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that they'll buy Konami so much as they would buy IP from Konami.
Yeah. I don't know.
It would just depend on what kind of deal they would be willing to make. Because Konami's like, whatever, we're making our money. Konami's, we're fine over here. Yeah. We don't care about video games.
Yeah, Konami's too arrogant. I think they'd be more happy selling their property than they would be know, being bought up. So,
and that's fine with me. Just somebody do something with them. Yeah, there's just
do something. Yeah, please.
I'm tired of the remasters. Oh my gosh, I'm just tired of the remasters and the remakes. Do something with some of these. Somebody buy some of these properties and do something.
I don't want to see Bomberman anymore.
Stop. Oh no, Bomberman's cool. Oh. What's the hate with Bomberman? What did he do to you, Dennis?
A new game. Bomberman is simple enough. We're good there. We don't need a new Bomberman. Because it's not new. It's the same.
How did Bomberman How did he hurt you?
No matter what weird coat of paint you put on Bomberman, it's still Bomberman.
Yeah. All right. Well, does anybody got anything else before we call that a show? There are not
a
whole lot of news.
Did you guys talk about the Sega Mini 2?
No, we didn't. But me and you talked about it in the chat. And as of right now, I say, and the only reason I say that is because they're only sold by Amazon Japan on the Amazon US website, and they're $103 with $22 shipping, and that is way too expensive.
It's a little bit less when we get it over here, but we'll see. I am interested
if we get it over here. I can't, as far as I know, right now, that's the only way you're going to get it is to import it through there.
I took the risk and pre-ordered.
That kind of fad thing is kind of come and gone with like the mini consoles coming out.
They only announced 23 games on it, so I don't know what the other 17 games are going to be. So you're going to have to move me before I spend $125 on it.
Because,
I bought the Super Nintendo.
Here's the thing. No matter what those 17 games are, it's still not going to be worth that much money.
No, probably not.
Because,
I mean, I bought the Genesis one, the Model 1, and I bought the NES and the Super NES. And you know where they're at? They're in plastic cases, sitting up there on the shelf, in the boxes, just to look at it. I go by and go, those look really
good. What if you take all the games out of it and just sell it as, like, a figure?
Yeah.
For, like, $20.
Yeah, really.
Just make a plastic-looking thing, and then I can sit on a shelf, and that's where it's going anyway.
I don't think I ever took the Genesis one out of the box when I got it. I think I literally set it on the shelf and walked away. I don't think I ever even opened it up.
I have a sealed Genesis, sealed PlayStation Classic. I have a modded PlayStation Classic, too. I got super cheap. I've got a modded Super Nintendo Classic. That one's actually pretty cool. I busted that out a few times, like on weekends with friends. But other than that, I just
bought them because the boxes look cool and they were very nostalgic, and I put it on and I just wanted them. But $125 ship for it's too much. If it was $60-$70 and that was for it shipped, maybe. But no, I can't spend over $100 on that thing. I just can't. I mean, I'm sure it'll be cool. It's got Sega CD games on it. I wish it was the one that was coming from Japan with the Sega CD attachment on it. It just looks cooler. But,
I knew, because that's how my SNES Mini is. It's like I just kind of left that one in the box. When the NES Mini first came out and was first announced, I mean, it was just this crazy concept, and it was really cool. I got it, hooked it up, played a few games, but I only played for, 2 hours, and then I let it sit there and sit there and sit there, and then I thought I would go back to it, and I just never did, especially when the 3DS was still sort of active at the time. So I had a lot of that stuff on my 3DS anyways, via the virtual console or my Wii U, so where I was just playing them on emulators or whatever. So I didn't feel a need for it, so I put it back in the box, and then the SNES I got but never took it out of the box.
I like having them, because they're cool to look at. The boxes are very cool and nostalgic, but I never use them. You know, maybe if the kids, when the kids come over, maybe. But even then, it's probably going to be something like the Raspberry Pi or the original stuff, you know, because I have a cartridge that has everything on it. So
I think you can still get the Nintendo Classic and the Nintendo Classic for maybe like $100. But you know what one is horribly expensive?
Well, the TurboGrafx, yeah.
Which I have because I went to Portland Retro Gaming Expo or the Swap last winter, and a guy had a... Well, whatever the one is that came out in Japan, was that the
PC engine?
Yeah, he's like, brand new in the box, like, you can have it for $80. I went, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So, he threw in an extra wireless controller, too, and I have played with it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a novelty. You can emulate those. Those games are very easy to emulate.
Well, yeah, and I have a PC engine with an EverDrive, and... I have all the games anyway. You know, it's like,
and he plays it once a year and goes, there's some great games. There's also a lot of crap.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool shoot 'em ups on that system that
there's also a lot of
people never heard of.
If you're into games that come from Japan that have questionable content,
yeah.
Also lots of those too.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, there really are.
Because, like, hello, like, whoa, what is this? But yeah, no, it's an interesting little system. Yeah. I really want if we see the Sega Genesis Mini 2 with the Sega CD attachment and it's around a 80 to 100, I'll probably get it.
Yeah. At this point, unless Amazon US carries it and they're not doing the Japanese or the conversion from, you know, Japanese
yen.
To yen to
yeah.
dollar.
They need to do is a Sega Genesis Mini that has all the possible attachments stacked up on
power,
each other.
Power.
I want the Tower of Power. I have the Tower of Power.
With a Sega CDX base. So it just
but
like
miniaturized now. Thing. Miniaturized.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that buzzing noise? Ah, it's fine.
Yeah. What's that smell? What's that burning smell?
Plastic. Old. And then it falls over on your foot. Oh,
that's the smell of gaming
that's
right there.
That's the smell of the 80s, baby. You're smelling the 80s right there. All right. Well, we're going to call that a show. Like I say every week, follow us on Twitter at @GL_podcast if you want to know when we go live and you want to come hang out in the chat like Troy, what was that? Troy Go? I can't even say that name. say that for me, Dennis. Can you read that? You're better at pronouncing things.
Let me see here. It is. I know it was Troy something. Troy Govani.
Govani. I thought maybe he was a cousin of yours or something. You know.
Oh no.
Sounds
no.
very
you're
Italian.
You're getting confused with Giovanni.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Giovanni. This is Govani.
They were in the pizza place up the street. Yeah, the Giovanni.
Yeah.
The...
Okay.
Yeah. Right. The two rival pizza places that are like each pretending to be original.
Yeah. Well, see, we have a Giovanni's and we have a Gino's pizza. So, you know, they're on each end of the town. So, you know. Yeah. But anyway, no, seriously.
Yeah. My people tend to not be the best when it comes to this sort of stuff.
But like I say, follow us on Twitter if you want to know when we go live and you want to hang out in the chat with us and listen to the show early. I try to tweet out a couple hours before we record. Let's see, what is the next show? Should be the 3rd. Yeah, that should be. We should be able to do 2 weeks if everything goes well, as far as I know. So shouldn't be an issue. Like I say, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll know. And if you get us on your podcatcher, you don't care. It'll just end up in your podcatcher whenever
it's
done. So
be there.
It'll just magically happen. You'll just magically get it, and it'll be cool. So, all right. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out and listening to us, and we will catch you all next time.
See you guys later.
This podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.